is episode 455 of the Anarchist News Podcast, a digest and or conversations on anarchist activity, ideas, and comments from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. This is for the week of February 14th through February 20th, 2026. What's new this week? Trial updates of political slash anarchist prisoners in Bandung from Dark Knights. Two short paragraphs about two groups of...
First you said dung and then you said groups.
Two short paragraphs about two groups of folks who have been sentenced. The comments include a letter of solidarity to them. May they be released sooner than they expect.
Anarchists claim responsibility for rail sabotage during Italy Olympics. From Reuters. For an extremely mainstream news source, this is pretty neutral. Quote, the anarchist denounced the Olympic Games as a glorification of nationalism, saying the event provided a testing ground for policing crowds and monitoring movement. Unquote. No one was hurt and no trains were damaged.
Chronicle of repression against anarchists and anti-fascists in 2025 from Anarchist Black Cross Belarus. A list of people who have been imprisoned, harassed, sentenced, or released. Starts with the sadly funny understatement, quote, in 2025, the level of repression did not decrease, unquote. In case, you know, you wondered.
Remembering Paul Avrich, 1931 to 2006. From Anarchisteries by Tom Goyens. An appreciative look at the significance of Avrich's historiography. That word took me several tries. Quote, one of Avrich's significant contributions was revealing how anarchists foresaw the dangers of Soviet Russia, a prescience that earlier scholars had often overlooked. As immigration historian Rudolf Vacoli observed, Avrich reminded scholars that anarchists had seen in state socialism, and particularly in Soviet communism, the seeds of totalitarianism. This vision, which set anarchists apart from other leftist movements, gave Avrich's work a sense of urgency and clarity, unquote. It's pretty hard for folks these days to imagine what a dearth of anarchist writing there was in the 60s and 70s. This is a reminder of those days, as well as a reflection on Avrich's life and work. Well worth reading as much for the insight into the creation of histories as for understanding some of what made Avrich special.
Two claims of responsibility for anti-Olympics train sabotage in Italy from Anonymous. Two different instances of sabotage happened to two different trains, that's one per train to be clear, as resistance to the Olympics. Here are printed the claims of responsibility for each, as well as a call for help about a Greek squat made by the translator. Quote, we are absolutely not allowed to criticize the nationalistic, competitive spirit of these games or their draining of impressive amounts of public funds while entire buildings collapse in Sicily in the wake of a hurricane. After all, there's nothing more important at the moment. There is no better tool of distraction for a modern state. There is no better mask in Italy today as elsewhere in the past. Just one example is the 1936 Berlin Olympics at the height of the Nazi dictatorship. Unquote.
Basic banalities concerning the January 31st demonstration in Turin. From Crimethink. Turmoil in the streets against a squatted social center being evicted. A fire-breathing Italian polemic is translated here, including such section headings as, paraphrased, yes to international solidarity, affinity groups, no to collaboration with the enemy, cataloging by the enemy, the left being identified as victims, etc. Quote, with the clumsy attempts of the press, politicians, and self-proclaimed intellectuals all tend to present a certain profile, to pinpoint a subject responsible for the clashes, let us take advantage of their stupidity and cherish the opacity it guarantees us. Journalists and various opinion makers will melt the few brain cells they have in an attempt to understand these kids, to isolate the violent ones from the rest of the march, or to launch into stale and poorly digested readings on crowd psychology. Unquote. Apparently the word banalities in the title refers to the expectation that the points made in this article are obvious? Unclear. Been a while since we've had a piece from Italian insurrectionaries, if I can label the author thusly. It's long, but well written.
Rafael Serra, grandfather of Cuban anarchism, from Black Rose Federation by Enrique Guerrero Lopez. Black Rose actually typed an apology for this piece. Quote, "However, we also recognize the pressing need to recover and transmit our movement's historical memory. We do this not simply to look back fondly on those who came before us, but to extract lessons still applicable today." Unquote. Sorry, we don't only talk about convincing our workmates that they should unionize. We'll get right back to it. Anyway, this piece is biographical and also mentions the various ways Serra contributed to the movement by organizing unions and writing about history.
Responsibility claim for coordinated attack in Onopaticia from Dark Knights. The daily grind of medieval working conditions, class humiliation, and extermination of the proletariat, employer impunity and terrorism, austerity measures that strangle the social base, torture in the hellhole police stations, the hundreds of murders at the borders of Fortress Europe, the destitution and detention centers, the permanent panoptic surveillance and mapping of every movement, the upgrading of repression and the legal arsenal of the state, demands the intensification of social resistance, the breaking of the omnipotence of the state through the spread of polymorphous aggressive actions of social violence directed against this insatiable system that annihilates human life and treats us as expendable as numbers. Oh, look, a period. Unquote.
That was one sentence.
So attacks happened on banks. Greece!
In Contempt number 4, from Legacy Project of It's Gone Down, incontempt.noblogs.org. A list of 17 prisoners or groups who need help, with photos and bios and some background for each, starting out with the Prairie Land defendants who were in court in mid-February, but whose asshole judge called a mistrial because the jury selection wasn't going his way. Anyway, lots of fucked up.
Constellation 2026, call for tables and workshops, from Anonymous. Brief call for participation in the Montreal event with email, deadlines, and some scheduling information. Also, someone complains in the comments that they don't know what's going on. Probably a regular occurrence.
Takakia numbers 1 through 3, English edition, from Anonymous, announcing the collected editions of a French publication, one that is named after a truly ancient moss. Quote, "This is what Takakia on the Tibetan Plateau tells humans who seek it out. Year after year, its struggle hardens, but its resistance does not falter. It retreats, but fights on, relentless. Takakia draws a clear line, resistance and freedom, or submission and agony. The memory has not been erased of the mosses that blanketed the planet, and, at the close of each cataclysmic era, gave birth to everything that lives and grows. Asa Kamek, those who cover the earth. Today, this vital force nourishes the dream of seeing those ones cover the industrial ruins of the Anthropocene. Each Takakia shoot serves as a reminder of the challenge before us, to work toward the downfall of industrial society, or perish with it. Free and wild resistance, or morbid submission." Unquote. This is, in the words of a departed friend, a desirable print object, pleasant to hold in the hand. The table of contents is listed.
Racist Concepts. That's the title. Jesus. Mm-hmm. From libcom.org and Kurdish-speaking anarchist forum KAF by Zahar Bahar. While the author of this article is an anarchist, the arguments here against anti-Kurdish racism appeal to liberal concepts like equal representation under the law, etc. Obviously, we're against racism, but arguing that the state should be more fair to its minorities is not exactly anarchist reasoning. Quote, "We know that many people in high government positions are Kurds, such as Hakan Fidan, the forging secretary of Turkey. The official spokesman of the Justice and Development Party, AKP, Omer Çelik, is also Kurdish, along with many others whom I do not need to name here. Erdogan himself is not a Turk. Not only that, but none of the other three candidates who ran for president alongside Erdogan were Turks." Unquote. Etc. Notable because this appeal comes in a time of militarism, but still, this barely makes sense to be posted on A-News. Moving on.
Update repression in Italy, Operation City, from Act for Freedom Now. Operation City is the latest in the repression against the ongoing fight against the 41 bis regime and the persecution of Alfredo Cospito. Quote, so-called Operation City, an investigation which has provided a good number of preventive measures, such as house arrests, obligation to sign on in police stations on a daily basis, bans from accessing certain cities, obligations to not leave one's town of residency, etc., and has led to several trials for which hearings are being celebrated at the present moment. The contested crimes refer to different moments of the mobilization, but most of the comrades on trial are accused in relation to the events that occurred during the international demonstration in Turin on the 4th of March 2023. Unquote. As of now, 60 people are involved in these trials. There is an email address to get more information and to provide assistance.
Portland Auto Shop, owned by prominent ICE ally, vandalized. From Puget Sound Anarchists. Quote, we sprayed Dean's wife Fun's ice across the side of the shop and drenched the storefront in bright orange with paint bombs made from hollowed out eggs. It was quick and easy fun and a little exhilarating due to an unexpected burglary alarm activating from the impact of the paint bombs against the windows. We slipped back into the dark unseen, satisfied with our work and filled with the jouissance and freedom of criminality. Unquote.
Fredonia's 2026 funding round is now open. Call for grant applications. From fredonia.ca. Deadline March 2nd. Quote, at this moment, we are particularly enthusiastic to fund projects related to anarchist infrastructure broadly defined, i.e. including but not limited to material infrastructure. We want to support initiatives that build collective capacity, strengthen people's long-term ability to organize, and expand the terrain of struggle. Unquote. Seems to be a valuable resource. Good luck to the applicants.
Statements by Anna Beniamino, Juan Sroche, and Action for Palestine Ireland. From Dark Knights, quote, on February 7th, about 150 people took to the streets in Viterbo for a radical demonstration that showed how it is possible and necessary to link the issues of war and repression with the resistance of the Palestinian people against defeatism in Ukraine, against repression as an expression of war policies on the home front, against 41 Beast as a war prison, and in solidarity with Alfredo Cospito. These issues were explored in greater depth the following day, again in the city of Viterbo, and at a very rich militant conference. Unquote. All three statements here are worth reading. Beniamino on the continuation of 41 Beast, among other things. Sroche on the internal dynamics of resistance, among other things. Action for Palestine Ireland on the Irish state's involvement in things they say they are neutral on, among other things. That was statements by Beniamino, Sroche, and Action for Palestine Ireland, among other things.
Jules Durand, anarchist docker of Le Havre. I butcher the French, just butcher them. From Freedom News UK by Maurice Schumann. Schumann marks 100 years since the death of Durand, a union head who was convicted of the killing of a strike breaker. Quote, Durand was seen as the organizer and figurehead of the strike, and it was in this capacity that he was prosecuted, much like Sacco and Vanzetti in the United States, were tried as representatives of anarchism rather than as proven perpetrators. All available evidence spoke against Durand's involvement or any call to violence. Unquote. There is more information here about his life and beliefs, including that he didn't drink alcohol and was anti-militarist.
Notes on Anarchist Canon and Memory. From anarchofigget.substack.com. That's F-G-G-T. Dear gods, okay, there are some good points in this alarmed reflection, but it is also full of confusing sentences like, quote, I have noticed a disturbing trend where anarchists are actively avoiding materialism, unquote, and trite realizations like, quote, I have come to the conclusion that the way I run my account, and that a lot of anarchists run their accounts, combined with the Phoenician octopus of meta-algorithms, contribute to the watering down of our movement. To creators specifically, we need to use the attention our accounts get with incredible care. We should be focusing more on resources and building praxis than semantics or lifestyle memes. Perhaps the most subversive use of our accounts is to paradoxically move people off the platform. Unquote. First, what's wrong with avoiding materialism? I guess context leads to the reading that the writer meant avoiding learning about materialism. But get proofreaders, people. Second, how can anyone these days not have figured out that social media accounts are part of the problem, almost regardless of their content? Anyway, the main point of this piece is that people are reinventing the wheel, a wheel that has been turning since anarchism was coined as a term, and that it's reactionary to just avoid old anarchists because they're old white men. Quote, remembering the work that has already been done and breathing life into our histories by practicing them is the antidote against liberalism and the key to making revolution, unquote. There is a very solid response in the comments by a KM. Welcome to KM.
Obituaries. Mariana Dolci, the poet of puppets and freedom, from Retroguardia.net by Francisco Soriano. A bit of biography, but more about Dolci's puppetry and teaching. There's confusing language here, always easy to blame translation, especially in these days of the machines, but it's mostly legible enough. Quote, I would add that the lack of a proper written script is one of the most interesting aspects of the puppeteer's art. A man of letters and poet, of his ability to transform language with neologisms and onomatopoetic sounds, so little noted in the writings of this immense artist. It's no coincidence that Dolci reminds us that there were no fascist puppeteers, and from this alone, one could understand that one was on the right side. Unquote. Always nice to know that one is on the right side.
That's fascinating to me. There's no fascist puppeteer.
Well, at the time, there were no fascist puppeteers. Who knows what's going on nowadays? Everybody's fucking screwed up nowadays, man.
Yeah. Audio and video. Death to the Dictator. Uprising and repression in Iran with anarchism perspective. From Final Straw Radio. An hour and a half. The whole episode is a single interview with a guest who has been on before. The guest is well-spoken and comfortable talking. Has a sense of humor, although his fairly thick accent can require more attention. Obviously, hearing about what has been happening in Iran is heartening, but then very hard, so you know, just be prepared.
This is Chichi.
And Donnie fucking don't.
And I hope you guys missed me. We're today going to talk about the topic of the week that was posted on February 8, 2026. So we're kind of late here. Written by Artemis. And the topic of the week is Saint Luigi.
It's the Saint Luigi. I am writing a review of John H. Richardson's 2025 Luigi, The Making and the Meaning. The back cover is a mural of him out of London, depicting him in a saintly fashion, larger than life, solemn face, and a gold halo circling his head. The back cover also includes a quote from the book. For a growing group of Americans who seemed to be vibrating with existential anxieties, he became a screen onto which they projected their fears and dreams. For anyone with interest in the fields of psychology, sociology, and history as applied to religion, this is nothing new. Saints, gods, angels, demons, spirits all become vessels in the same vein. I'm reminded of Jung's idea of God image, a projection of our perfected collective self into a shared conception of God. Hume, in his Natural History of Religion, said, "There is a universal tendency among mankind to conceive all beings like themselves, and to transfer to every object those qualities with which they are familiarly acquainted, and of which they are intimately conscious." Freud, in his usual manner, described God as a father surrogate who has regained human shape, and of course carries some incestuous undercurrents. For those interested in Luigi, either as a saint or infidel, he expresses hope or dread. For saint followers, hope is that individuals can overcome their status as NPCs, or non-player characters, a topic the author of the book shows clearly was a concern for Luigi, and take back power for themselves and for those they consider on their side. Those who see Luigi as an infidel dread he will, or has, opened the floodgates, that political violence is suddenly an option for resistance again. In regards to anarchists, Luigi is divisive. He, taken together in the collective anarchist discourse, is neither saint nor infidel. He fills a role more like a heretic or religious reformer. Sonia, writing for Freedom News UK, wrote a piece titled, "Why I'm Not Clapping for Luigi." Sonia says, "I guess what bothers me most is that Mangione is completely aware of his privileges, and like many other white shooters, is now enjoying the attention and the hero status he's getting. Guys like him shoot a CEO one day, and a lot of kids on another, to take revenge for his back pain and repair his hurt ego. Mangione assassinated a useless person, without any collective context or intention to liberate large groups of oppressed people." Madeline Silver, writing a companion piece, says, "The real attraction of the CEO killer, however handsome he may be, is not him. It's us. The last few days have seen our misery laid bare, but above all, they have seen our glorious rage rise to the surface and cover the world like lava. These have been amazing days because of what beautiful connection I've seen in your eyes." Both of these texts embody the religious theories discussed above. He is corrupting revolutionary ideas by being an attractive white man who shot a useless person. United Health Investments certainly don't agree with Sonia. On the other hand, he lays the situation we all inhabit bare, helping us realize ourselves and our collective glorious rage. Such writings together remind me of the way the Roman Catholic Church spoke of the Gnostic and other heretical movements, like the egalitarian Gnostic groupings or the countless millenarian peasant revolts. The Church spoke with horror their ideas, and power came into question. While there exists now a fascination that Christian ideas could be inverted towards ends of freedom and equality. Questions. What does Luigi's image mean to you? What image is that? Saintly? Heretical? Something else? 2. Do figures like Luigi, or Uncle Ted, etc., generally prove to be positive for the development of anarchy? 3. What influenced such an elevation of Luigi to saintly status? Is it just good looks, or do people genuinely recognize he did something, quote, good?
Okay.
Yeah, a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for reminding me what NPC is. I can't never. Okay, so do you want to start? Should I start?
Yeah, you can start.
Okay. So the whole thing with Luigi, and I said that before, and I even think I said that on the topic of the week before, on the podcast, is that it's the problem is that people are focused, the anarchists, that people are focused on his image. I understand, but it kind of like the anarchist focus on him as an individual, it's something that doesn't make much sense for me, because I feel like anarchists tend to be like more analytical and pay attention to the context and other things, and so it's not about him,
right?
You know, it's about what he did and how it reached people, and you know that he was going to become like a figure. Of course, it has to do, like, especially the media loves that he's fucking handsome, and there were even like and in this matter, like, there was even other characters that were considered like super violent serial killers, whatever, but were good looking and also became famous for that. So the part of being good looking, of course, will make him stand in the media longer, and it will activate some people's dreams and fantasies and all that. But I think that looking just like, it's not about him,
right?
That's the thing for me. And I mean, and not for me, I really don't think it's about him. And I think what happened is that the thing that he did just reached out so many people, because everybody in this country that is not a millionaire had been through something like that, you know? And if the person didn't yet, they will soon.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry about that if you're listening to it and you've never been. Because health, the health system here sucks, and the insurance is a big part of it. The insurance mafia. So I was a little bit disappointed with the Sonia person. I think something else bothered this person, because, you know, to write that, because I'm sure they can do better than just, it was a very shallow analysis, not taking it, like,
yeah.
That's,
my
sorry.
Reading may have betrayed my actual feelings.
No. I'll say, like, this sentence is stupid, and I'm sure Sonia is not, but, like, guys like him shoot a CEO one day and a lot of kids on another. It sounds like just gratuitous critique that was not, there's no thought on it.
Yeah, I'm shocked that this person writes for an anarchist magazine, because her inability to get past, like, the most shallow, like, shit-lib level of identity politics.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like Hillary Clinton campaign level identity politics.
So that's what I'm saying. I think something else bothered this person, and they could not express that, and they unfortunately wrote this piece that is, I mean, who never really, like, wrote a shitty piece about something? You know, it happens, so let's not be too mean with Sonia. I'm sure Sonia will do amazing things later, but that was not her...
it's the other people at the magazine's fault for letting her publish it.
That was... Yeah, her friends.
Those aren't good friends.
Yes, her friends do not tell her, like, yeah, this is not on point. You should not, you know...
Don't let friends publish angry.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they do. It's fine.
No, I know.
And then we hear a lot of criticism, and then we learn from it, hopefully. Anyway, so these are my first thoughts on it.
I would also say that, like, even situationally, that doesn't add up as, like, a example, even. I mean, like, within the American culture, like, mass shooters...
United Stater.
Yes. Mass shooters might be famous, but they're not heroes, you know, which is one of her claims. And then, similarly, you have characters like Christopher Dorner, who is extremely popular and is not white, you know? And I know Micah Johnson doesn't get the credit he deserves, but, well, maybe that's an argument for what she was saying, but, yeah, I mean, Christopher Dorner's had his sexy mug on all kinds of shirts and stickers.
But I think maybe you are mixing two people, or maybe I am mixing. I thought the person who brought up the BIPOC thing was a different person that... was not Sonia, but I might be mistaken.
I thought that was Sonia.
Maybe it was.
I think there were only two
okay
articles.
But keep going.
Sonia wrote the Why I'm Not Clapping for Luigi.
Yes.
And Madeline wrote the other piece. Anarchists like Chalgosh and other anarchist assassins. Ted Kaczynski is not a particularly handsome individual by conventional standards either. And, you know, there's a flavor of anarchists that enjoy him. Anyway, we can move on with that a little bit. Yeah, I think what you were saying was really on point, where, like, I feel like I was transfixed on the story for quite a while, but, like, the story to me was watching how folks in the United States were reacting to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to his credit, he put everything together very nicely, you know? His messaging was very clear,
yes.
You know, and concise, and, you know... there is a big problem where, you know, the media doesn't want to read your manifesto.
Yeah.
But in his case, he was like, I'll do this in a way where they will put it on, it'll be part of every story.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, in this way, you know, and then he got away with it for at least long enough, you know, for him getting away with it to be part of the story as well. Right. It wasn't just this, like, you know, another person gets busted. And, you know, and then as they did slowly catch him, you also see in every instance that they have some picture of him, he looks like he's having friendly interactions with people, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he does become a very likable character even before we see his gorgeous abs and rippling cum gutters or whatever, you know? I mean, he seems kind before everything else. I think that's part of, like, the obsession with him. There was, like, a weird fixation on his politics that was very uninteresting to me, you know? His politics were extremely normie. Like, mm-hmm. It was just your average United States voter, honestly. It was like, some issues over here, some issues over there, wildly inconsistent, you know? So that part was not super interesting for me, beyond the fact that I was keeping abreast of some of those stories just because those things then trickle out and affect the way that people react to it.
Yeah. And I think, like, some people said, not as nicely as I'm going to say, but on the comments, like, that they don't even believe it was him. And honestly, like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because that's the thing. It's about, like, what he did. And I do think that what he did, what it can be called, like, a piece of art, in the sense that it reached every single United Stater. It like, except the very, very, very wealthy ones that could not understand that. Or people who are just brown noses.
Yeah.
Also, they said they could not understand it. But that's it. Like, it was very simple, very direct, and it touched, like, so many people, but because people just experience that.
Right.
It's part of... I don't even think, like, somebody... That was... the first comment was more in this sense, I think, but the person still call it representation. I don't even think it's representation, because it's like... You know, like, when... I don't know, I'll give a stupid example, but, like, you had your hair stuck on a fan before... And then if somebody, if you see it in a movie or if you see it somewhere, you, like, you almost feel that again. Like, your body knows exactly that. And it's not representation. It's, like, it's physical. You know that. Like, you understand exactly what it is, you know? And I think what he did, the way he did, like, the words he chose got that. Like, I mean, even if it was not him. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The act, like, the person who did that. I was going to the personality thing and I forgot what I was going to say, so I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think the critiques, the non-collective critiques or whatever of him, rang, like, relatively useless to me as well, insofar as it seemed like there was substantial collective organizing going on around what he had done, mm-hmm. you know? Like, there were demonstrations for universal health care,
mm-hmm.
you know, all over the country, using him as a cheeky icon, you know?
And the health insurance companies, they were, like, they were frightened, and they started, like, not rethinking, I don't know, but, like, if I remember it correctly, there was even, like, during that period, not so many claims were denied.
Yeah, no,
you know?
People who want to say that what he did not have, like, substantial material benefits, United Healthcare's shareholders sued them because they started denying way fewer claims. And were, like, not making as much money. I don't know where the lawsuit went or if it, you know, went anywhere. But it feels like, anyway, it feels like if you point out that it's not a functional business, anyway, it's not important. But the point is we have confirmation that, yeah. that several, maybe hundreds of people were approved for insurance claims that would not have been.
Yeah, and it was briefly like that. Unfortunately, that didn't become like a bigger thing. Probably things are hard again, but it's a good and that's also I honestly think that one of the reasons why people like and the media included likes to focus so much on the person is because it really distracts from the act and what yeah. it means. So yeah, you and especially oh great, we have this handsome person and very charismatic and maybe it was not him, maybe it was, but like let's focus on him and distract from what is really the question here, that this system is killing people like yeah. every day, like every fucking day killing a lot of people and not killing, not even like with a bullet, they're making people suffer. Like,
social death, yes.
No, not just social, like actually.
Social murder, excuse me, yes.
But like making people suffer until like the day they will die, you know, it's not even a merciful death as was the CEO one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, and again, you know, I think it's been very cute how at demonstrations, you know, people will wear, generally swap out his actual image, right, for like the like the, cheeky like Luigi from Mario, yes, you know, and so yeah. and so it kind of simultaneously has this like festive silly feel, but then also yeah. tells any healthcare executive who sees it,
it
looks very different from when you and I see it. Yeah. To when a healthcare CEO sees it, because what they see is like a green hat with an L on it that says like, I kind of think you getting yeeted in the street isn't such a bad thing, you know?
Yeah. No, and it was good that you reminded the character Luigi, because I also think that's the way that for a while and still is sometimes that people reminded, like, yeah, it's really not about that handsome guy. That is, it's really about something else. And sure, we can use, it's a little bit of that lack sometimes. And in the anarchist, like this sense of humor, you know, yeah, we're Luigi masks now. And they made Luigi finally thrive, yeah. Not Mario. Yeah, it was. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, well,
and it doesn't matter if it was him or not. And it was just
And people like symbols. Like I'm not going to defend or attack that, but like people like symbols, and so like having iconography to work around. Like I feel like binds people working on stuff, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. like we had the whole thing with the Guy Fawkes mask in the 2000s or whatever, up through Occupy, or you know, people in Thailand, you know, love to use the like three fingers from the Hunger Games or whatever, and you know, in Hong Kong they, you know, adopted Pepe the Frog, which was kind of funny because it's all right. The anti-imperialist analysis of that is not kind. But yeah, so I mean, people like iconography, you know? And so having like some comic iconography, I think was also like really neat.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know about, I didn't think much about iconography specific, but
or like
I did find it funny.
Yeah, like in 2020 when like I don't even remember how it happened. It was during the rioting in Philly in 2020. And it was just like Philly had a new mascot, and you know, someone put out, I don't remember if it was placards at a protest or if it started as memes on the internet originally, but just like the claiming of Gritty mm-hmm. as like an anti-fascist character, you know?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, like that touches people, you know?
Yeah. And it also sends a message. if it's popular enough and if the connection is popular enough, as it is in the case of Luigi, isn't it?
Yeah.
It also sends a message. I forgot what I was going to say before, but let's see if it can. Let's go for the questions. I feel like we kind of answered some of them.
Yeah, we've been working on them.
Yeah. So, what does Luigi images mean to you? What images is okay? What is. I can't understand my own writing.
What does Luigi's image mean to you? What image is that? Saintly? Heretical? Something else?
Yeah, I feel like that's answered.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like saint is actually a pretty decent analogy, because, like, I feel like there's not, like, within Catholicism or whatever, and I'll humor Artemis here and get into the spirituality. Like, within Catholicism, like, there's not a lot of fixation on, like, the personal lives of saints, right? I mean, like, maybe, like, when they're being sainted, but, like,
I think there is.
100 years after the fact, like, when, like,
I think there is.
Really, like, when some Italian mom, like, puts a candle with some saint that, like, protects you from whatever, like,
usually
in their house.
The real Catholics know, like, the story of the saints.
Story, but, like, is there a fixation on, like, their personal thing, like, the way that we have here?
No,
you know what I mean?
They're considered...
The human becomes an icon, you know? Like, they escape their...
They do become an icon, but I feel like the people who are very, very devoted also kind of know what made the saint become saint.
No, well, you know what made the saint, but the point is, like, the saint is reduced to the one thing that they did.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're not a person anymore.
Right. Yes.
I guess it is what we just kind of how the thing with Luigi works, right?
Yes. It's reduced to a particular act or fact or something like that. Yeah.
Do figures like Luigi, parentheses, or Uncle Ted, etc., generally prove to be positive for the development of anarchy?
I don't know.
I mean, Luigi being not an anarchist, you know?
Yeah.
I think didn't necessarily contribute to public discourse around anarchism.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, like, anarchists doing the Luigi Legal Defense Fund, you know? And so I think anarchists branded on it well.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it would be hard to, you know, draw a line right from one to the other, I think.
Yeah.
Ted, on the other hand, you know, I think it's complicated with Ted, you know? I mean, because you can draw lines from Ted to, like, the mid-2000s anarchist milieu very quickly and easily, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it'd be hard to say that he wasn't at least extremely influential. I don't know. And then 3, what influenced such an elevation of Luigi to saintly status? Is it just good looks, or do people genuinely recognize he did something good? Yeah, I honestly think that even if he'd been, like, mid-looking, the initial, like, obsession with him, I mean, we didn't know what his face looked like for the first week, you know?
Yeah.
And people were already, like, obsessed with it.
But not with him. They were obsessed with the fact, and I think it's because, yeah, it's not about his act being good, it's about his act really speaking to a lot of people in a very personal and intimate level.
I mean, I don't know what another definition of good would be, but
I don't think it's nor good or bad. It just, like, it speaks to people. And,
sure.
And the saintly status is just, yeah, a lot of media towards him, and also people's fantasies. And he being handsome, and people want to connect what he did with his, like, wanting him to be a certain personality. I remember right in the beginning, like, there were people kind of fighting to see, like, if he was right or left, which always, like, somebody on the comments also mentioned the Kirk shooter, and And I think there was also like kind of a fight between, even though like I think those are two different things, because the Kirk shooter didn't spoke to as many people as the thing with the CEO did.
Yeah.
It was a more, in this sense, it was a more traditional politics with capital P.
Well, I think the Kirk shooter thing, even though only happening a few months later, just happened in like an almost inverted political context, right? Where the Kirk shooter was not, as opposed to Luigi, where, you know, the left was like, he's left, and the right he's right. The Kirk shooter, the left was like, he's right, he's right. And and the right was like, he's an Antifa trans. And part of that is, like, just the context was very, like, the national context was different, where, like, like, when that happened, the right was like, this is our opportunity to, like, exterminate the left. Yeah. And the left was like, this is their opportunity to exterminate us.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I think the reactions were just very different.
No, yeah, you're right. They were I'm just bringing it because somebody in the comment, like, put them together, and I disagree that they would go together. And in that sense, I think Artemis at some point mentioned like that the people who are against feels like that thinks that Luigi was an infidel that opened the gates of political violence. I think that the mass media might try to use that discourse, but that's really not what happened. Because it was not it was not right against left. It was, again, like, it was something that really spoke to a lot of people.
And the Charlie Kirk thing was kind of similar, honestly, where, like, the person's politics were, again, like, just average United States voter. Just, like, kind of all over the map, drawing from his, like, where he grew up and his personal experiences, you know? Where it's like, this person is, like, a... like legibly right wing, except that they're like dating like someone of like a genderqueer status, and like, you know, if we're to believe the narratives, that has in some ways like tickled his brain, you know, but it hasn't like shattered his reality where he's then put, you know, A, B, and C together, and he's like, and also like capitalism and like the state formation are at the root of, you know, blah blah blah. I think honestly, I think that the Kirk thing, if it had happened in a context where the left was not already on the run, or anarchists with the left, I'm using the left as a stand-in for a lot of different things.
Okay, I'll let you get away with that now.
Okay. I mean, honestly, the reaction was actually, this is our opportunity to exterminate the left and anarchists, right? They were immediately talking about Antifa and anyway. I think if it had happened in a different context where, like, the left was not on the defensive already, like, people may have just thought it was funny, and that, like, Tyler Robinson was, like, funny. You know?
I don't know. I need to put more thought on that. Yeah. But I just don't think it's the same. And I'm not judging here if it was, like, I just don't think it was the same act. Because I'm not, I don't care about, like, I'm not talking about Luigi or Tyler. I'm really now trying to think, like, what it,
I mean, one could say, right, like, who amongst us hasn't felt personally attacked by Charlie Kirk or someone, you know, like a Steven Crowder, who's like essentially like him, right? Where like this person like regularly goes out in public and like menaces you and your loved ones and like makes you...
Sure, but it didn't... But that's the thing. That's why I said this is a political capital P one.
Yes.
Because the same way, you know, and there's a lot of people that felt when the when Kirk was shot, a lot of people felt like that bullet was for them too, you know? While that's not what happened with the CEO. I mean, there's the whole class of CEOs that understood that the bullet was for them too. But they are not as significant.
It's true. Yeah, it's a different target group.
It's more like one. It's not even a class thing, but it's
economic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
a critique of an economic model.
Yeah. And the other one, it's a political moral perspective. Anyway, I'm running out of ideas here.
Yeah. Definitely the answer to whether or not Luigi opened, a Pandora's box of political violence. I would say, one of my critiques of that, I'm yes and no. One of my critiques of that is like the box on right-wing political violence has never not been open, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's interesting because the thing that like people always leave out is like, is he opening the box on left-wing political violence? Right. Mm-hmm. Cause like you can't open the box on right-wing political violence.
Yeah.
It has no lid, you know. It's not even a box. It's unboxed, you know. It is out and about.
Yeah.
But I would say I would say the answer is I do think that Luigi opened that box in a lot of ways. You know, I think the reaction to him, which was part of why I was so interested in the reaction to him, was like, if this individual is well received by the general public, this will happen again. Not this exactly, but like we will pivot to things like this happening.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, that Tyler and the individual in DC with the Israeli embassy mm-hmm. staff and stuff like that. I mean, you do see this shift, you know. There were two different individuals, you know, that I would say, you know, engaged in suicide by cop while attacking ICE this year, you know.
There is one of the comments also that mentioned the other one, but this person was like saying, Luigi was a privileged white, blah, 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 but that guy, and had no intention of doing anything, but the guy that shot the thing was clearly stating something. I think it's this, the previous one, this one.
Okay.
Yeah, and the media didn't give as much attention as they gave to the killing of the CEO. But it was maybe more like...
Oh, this is a different one yet that they're talking about. This is the person who went into the NFL office.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
Yeah, but that was also like very specific. I don't know. The person who wrote the comment was really hang up on the BIPOC thing, and also I think didn't took the time to look around. And again, like it's so much more interesting analysis can come if you take your time, just take a breath, think about it. Things are not always like how we wanted them to be. Yeah, it would be great if instead Luigi was like this handsome queer person, BIPOC, whatever, immigrant. But also, imagine how the backlash from that would be.
That's what I'm saying.
So on the other hand, you know.
Yeah. No. To me, it was kind of a best case scenario because again, it was like, yeah, this isn't gonna blow. I mean, yeah, the whole thing was like, please don't let this person be Arab, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, further than that, like when his politics started coming, I go, because anytime that happens, like the thing with the DC one, the thing with Charlie Kirk, the thing, and until it was established, like the thing with Luigi was, I was like, every, like, known leftist and anarchist in the country is about to get their fucking door kicked in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it, you know, we keep dodging that bullet. But by how much, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the funny thing with Kirk, and this is a total tangent, but I mean, the funny thing with Kirk, I think, that saved us, honestly, and I'm not, under no circumstances do you have to hand it to Candace Owens, but, yeah, it was actually just, like, the infighting where, like, they wanted to make it out to be, like, Antifa and the trans thing or whatever, and Candace Owens was like, what if it was the Jews? And then the next, you know, 5 months has been her being like, I think his wife was in on it. Look at her. She doesn't look serious at all. And just, like, absolutely derailed what I think the right was, like, trying to move towards, like,
yeah,
like, pogroms and disappear. You know what I mean? Like, I think the right was very ready to escalate.
Yeah.
And you saw that in the early days with, like, some mob violence and stuff.
Yeah, they're using their ICE costumes as a way to put that out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, another topic from other... Yeah, okay, I'm good here.
All right. Good? Yep, that's a wrap.
Okay.
We did it!
Yay, bye!
This week's podcast was sound edited by Rosinante. The What's New was written by Chisel, read by Chisel, and...
When I heard KM, I thought of the original Fly.
We hope this podcast is useful to and fun for anarchists and the anarcho-curious. La